Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. Well, it was good while it lasted. 26 games unbeaten, but all good things had to come to an end at some point. Some wise man said that at some point in a song. Just didn't think it would be against Bonnyrigg Rose in the Scottish Cup. We'll get into that game and much more on this week's podcast. I am your host, John McAnally, and as we're joined by Ginger God of Pod, Mr. Ross Vitality himself, the one-man band in the main stand, the king of the prawn sandwich, Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. How are we? You all right?
Very solemn tonight. We're all both very solemn. It's like, good evening, very formal.
I think a bit of an unexpected result, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of factors that went into that result, I think. But we will get into that as we get into the game a bit later on the show. However, it was a, you know, Scottish Cup fourth round, a wee trip away to Bonnyrigg. I think the day started terribly for you, however, Ross, when you were forced to have a can of Brewdog Lost Lager because you forgot your own tenant's lager cans.
I forgot the carryout for the train. So you did help me out. It was all right, actually. I wouldn't go and buy it, but it did the job on the train through. So thank you very much for your kind sharing. Because as we know, football without cans is nothing. So
absolutely. It was a good wee away day. We jumped in the train through to Waverley, jumped off at S Bank, us and a motley crew of Falkirk supporters. Ended up in the social club next to the ground, which were really hospitable, treated us really, really well. They had the Hearts game on, decent price for the beer, so had a couple in there pre-match, and then we won't talk about the game until a wee bit later. Came out, jumped into, is it Calderbank Sports Bar or something like that?
Calderwood, something like that. Calderwood, I think.
Was full of Edinburgh, Bonnyrigg supporters loving life, which was great.
Yeah, just playing Amarillo on repeat.
That was brilliant to hear. And then we went back down the road with our tails between our legs. But no, it was a good day out. Enjoyed it. It was, you know, you like got your, you know, going somewhere a bit different. And you know, it was just a nice wee day. And Bonnyrigg was a nice wee ground to go to. So.
Yeah, football aside, it was good, as you say, because we were looking forward to it, weren't we? Because it's Scottish Cup, as you said, away day, a ground that for a lot of people they've not been to before. Social Club was good, as you said. Good amount of Bairns fans in there as well, wasn't there? So probably a good day at the till for them.
And shout out to our friend Andy from Parliamo. They're actually playing behind the wall. I think it's March the 12th. They're doing a gig behind the wall now. It's just been announced. So
it's Friday, John. Whether it's the 12th is up for grabs. I've got the 16th in my head.
That's probably right, because I've just picked that. 15th,
sorry, mate. 15th, Friday the 15th.
Friday the 15th, they're doing a gig behind the wall. Tickets going fast, so get your tickets for that. Anyway, Andy, we bumped into Andy in the social club before the match, and we bumped into him in the pub and after the match as well, him and his dad. Shout out to the boys. And he messaged me today saying, after we left, the full Bonnyrigg Rose team walked into the pub. Nightmare.
Okay, well, I'm glad we left to go and get the train then.
I know, exactly. But listen, we'll get into the game and a lot more later on the show. But first, we've got to say thank you so much to our sponsors, Haldane Construction. Without them, we are nothing. They've been sponsoring the podcast all season long and sponsoring lots of things around the Falkirk Stadium. You'll see them on the North Stand, sponsoring the Latpay section. Also, they're sponsored the North Stand as well. You see their logo on the side. And if you want anything done construction-wise, Haldane are your people to go to. They will give you quality, because that's at the heart of their business, as well as customers. They'll be with you every step of the way with great communication, holding your hand and working to your needs, really. They've got awards coming out their ears. I want to see, sorry. I'm allergic to Bonnie Rig. All awards happening. Speak to Peter and the team. They will get you sorted out. Quality and loyalty, like, as I say, it's at the heart of the business. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Get them on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn and Facebook. Or you can email info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Speak to Peter and the team and they will give you a great price. Just say that Falkirk Daft sent you. I'm sure Peter will be able to do you a wee deal. Before we go on, birthday corner. I feel we should have some sort of birthday music at this point. Shout out and a happy birthday to Jack, who's celebrating his 30th. And also his dad, Stuart, as well. Big supporters of Falkirk and been loving the best run in our history. And that comes from Kirk. I don't know who Kirk is, but great name. Do you know what? Actually, Kirk, I named my son's middle name Kirk, right? And I got it through. This is the true story. I got it past my life. And I said, when he was born, wee Finlay. He was born Kirk. He had a wee dimple on his chest. I said, he's a bit like Kirk Douglas with that wee dimple. I was like, that's a great name, isn't it? Kirk. We could give a look at that middle name. All right, that's nice, because she had picked, obviously, the first name, Finlay. And then not knowing that, I was like, okay, so that now means he's Finlay Kirk, F. Kirk McInally. How about that?
Love it. And is that his signed off middle name?
Middle name, F.K. McInally.
When did you own up to that?
A couple of years down the line, but she's a big fan of Star Trek as well, so Captain Kirk was, it all worked. So there we go. So Finlay Kirk McInally. So good name, Kirk, and happy birthday to both Stuart and Jack. If you want any shout outs for birthdays or anything like that, we can do that on Birthday Corner.
Do you remember on CBeebies or something, they used to have these drawings sent in?
You could send us some drawings. And this one comes from Gary, who's 32, and he's drawn a picture of Tom Lang this week. Well done. Happy birthday from Mum, Dad, and the dog, Benji. Right, we could maybe do that. Right, listen, there's been a lot of chat on our Twitter over the last week or so. As we were talking about last week on the show, Camelin or Camlin? That is the big question. We put a poll out there. Now, I was on the train. I was just like, oh no, I forgot to record it. But she did say Camelin, definitely on the train. So that was generally what we were going with. But
we've had a lot of feedback, though, John, that actually it's Camelin, as in K-E-M-L-I-N, as the locals would say, Camelin.
We should have maybe wind out the Camelin or Camlin, or maybe Camelon. But here we go. Donald Johnson. Now, who can argue with Donald Johnson? Our resident Stato is enraged. He's got in touch with us and says, hi, guys. Great podcast as always. I'm able to sort out the Camelin pronunciation issue once and for all. It's Camelin, silent E, and only pronounced Camelin as slang by locals. I know this, having one lived for over 30 years within a mile of Camelin. I worked for a year in the Clydesdale Bank in Camelin. Three, my wife, Liz Young, taught for 5 years as a PE teacher at Camelin High School when Crunchy was there. There you go. My first girlfriend lived in Telford Square in Camelin. Five, my best pal, Robert Parka, lived in Camelin and played for Camelin Juniors in the early 70s. Six, my sister's husband lived in Union Road, Camelin for 30 years. I've listened to your pronunciations of Camelin over many podcasts and just thought you were locals. So your dear old dad is correct, and Ross and you are sadly wrong. Always here to help, Stato.
Well, he's put an awful lot of stuff in there. A lot of good stuff to
He's backed it up, Roscoe. He's backed it up.
Forgets, though, like, whilst, John, that you're not a local, now, whilst I wasn't a Camelin resident, I was just across the canal over the way, so I'm pretty local to the area, so I think I talk Trump on in terms of.
Right. Okay. Well, this continues. Neither Camelin or Camelin is correct. According to Kopfertoffer, Ian Sneddon, he is silent, and the correct pronunciation from my grandmother, who lived there all her 97 years, is Cam or Kem in the local slang. Kem is something which started when Scott Rail opened a station there. So Camelin is the answer.
People said Camelin before the trains arrived, though, didn't they?
Grant Thompson from our resident, who was our guest pundit, still game fame. He's been on and says, seemingly King Arthur used the Roman fort in Camelin as his base, and Camelin takes its name from Camelot. So it'd be Camelon. This being the case, it's Camelon. Every day is a school day. Karen, neither Camelin or it's or Camelin. There you go. No, so she's saying our Camelin or Camelin. It's Camelin or Camelin. Only the common people call it Camelin. Us snobs prefer Camelon. Used to be an advert at the pictures that said, come along to Camelon. People laughed at the quip, the accent and pronunciation. There you go. Palmer Gilchrist, another guest pundit, says Camelin. Neither it's Camelin, just like Kremlin, while dropping the R. So Camelin, there we go. Oh my God, it's kicking off. We're going to have to do this again. But we did put a poll out, and between Camelin and Camelin, it was 79% said Camelin as the way we're going to pronounce it. And that's 500 people voted in that poll. So
I think we stick with that.
We're going Camelin, yeah?
Yeah, right, we will.
There we go. That's it. Solved. Issue sorted. It's Camelin on this podcast from here on in, ladies and gentlemen. Talking about ladies, Falkirk women in action. We'll not mention the score, but they got beat 5-0. Bloody Stennis Muir. Nightmare. We didn't mention their game against Forfar last week as well, Ross, and that was a great result for them.
They did, yeah. They won 5-0, which Forfar were, at that point, they were the version of Falkirk, really. They're the unbeaten league side in the league, and Falkirk absolutely dicked them 5-0.
So, there you go. I don't know if that's the proper...
Actually, I don't know if the Falkirk women team can... I'll rephrase that. How can
beat them 5-0. We'll just go with
Gubbed them
5-0. And I love the shout out to the young ultras that the Falkirk women have got now themselves, which is brilliant. I've seen pictures of that online. Brilliant. The guys and girls getting along to support the Falkirk women.
Pictures looked amazing. And shout out, you mentioned Ian Sneddon there. Shout out to him, because I noticed last week he got they were getting a squad picture at the side of the pitch, and they invited all the young, very young ultras over to get their picture taken with them as well. So we'll add that to our socials. It has been shared already, I know, by Ian, but we'll add that on as well.
Yeah, Jeff, we'll check out the socials for that at Falkirk Daft. Tickets remain on sale for Blockbusters happening Friday 26th at the Camelin Social Club, formerly the Labour Club. £15 a ticket, are on schedule and on the door. Speaking to the boys yesterday, a couple of boys are involved in that. So get along to that if you can. Friday 26th, everything going into the FSS and obviously the football budget for the rest of the season and next season. So great night. That'll be at the Camelin Social Club on the 26th. Challenge Cup semi-final tickets are still on sale, though I believe the hospitality and the sponsorships are all sold out now. But that game with TNS happening, seems round the corner now, actually. It's 2 weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah, because the last round feels like an absolute eternity ago. I can't actually... would that have been October or November when we were in the last round? Can't even remember now, to be honest. It was that long ago, but yeah, no, it's come up round. I think there'll be a really big crowd there on the night, John. I know it's on TV. Was it BBC Alba, isn't it? But I can still see a healthy crowd there on the night. The previous games that we've had on TV versus that was Dundee United, actually, wasn't it? That was the game, I think. Yeah. So, like, if you think about that night, there was still a really healthy crowd in there, even though that was on BBC as well. So looking forward to it. And obviously, as you're probably just about to talk about it, we're also going to do a Falkirk Daft pub crawl.
We were talking about doing the Falkirk Daft pub crawl, which is the Falkirk pub trail. You've got to get around 8 pubs in the day and you'll get yourself a free t-shirt at the end of it. So we're talking about doing that. If you want to get involved and join us, we'd love to have you along with us, but a few of us are planning on doing it so we can get a free t-shirt. So you can purchase any alcohol alcoholic drink, soft or hot drink, to gain a stamp. So even if you don't like a beer, you can have a wee cup of coffee. But we've got to plan the route. This is very important. We started the initial chat about this yesterday. So what was our kind of thought? We're thinking Newmarket, or whatever it's called now, the Goose, isn't it?
I think we would have probably started with Cheers, but Cheers is apparently, because there's a change of ownership at Cheers, there's going to be a, they're currently not involved. So yeah, probably we started the Newmarket, and then
up the road, and then we could go to the Wheat Sheaf.
Yep.
Tollbooth.
Courtyard's there as well.
Courtyard, Wheat Sheaf, Tollbooth. Is Icons there.
Icons,
and then you could do the Orchard and then get the bus out.
Scotia's down that way.
Or you could come back up after the game and finish up behind the wall, Scotia kind of thing. With the more thought, if you've got any suggestion, have done the pub trail before, give us a route around the pubs. So the pubs that are involved are behind the wall, Karen Works, High Spirits, Icons, XOXO, the Courtyard, Newmarket Bar, the Orchard, the Scotia, the Tollbooth, the Welly, and the Wheat Sheaf as well. So we need a route round those pubs. What is the optimum route with football in the middle of that?
We do, and we also need a way down to the ground. So maybe behind the wall just before.
That's a great shout to get the bus.
I don't
know. Start at behind the wall so you get your bus ticket, then wander around the pubs, come back to behind the wall, get the bus.
You're allowed to hit more than once, so there's nothing to say you can't. You just don't understand, do you? So, yeah, it's a good show. We can do that.
Lots of thinking needs to be put into this, Ross. So, if you've got any suggestions, have done it before, let us know the optimum route of the Falkirk Pub Trail. Listen, we'll talk about the game, will we? Let's just keep it short and sweet, will we? And we want to get on one of our oldest friends onto the podcast, a guy we've been going to football with for ages. He's been promising to come on this podcast for ages, and he said, "You'll need a swear button for me." Don't worry, we do plenty of that, and I get told off for it all the time. So please welcome to the podcast, Mr. Gary McLaughlin.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
Hi, guys.
That was the point, Gary, that you're meant to come and go. Hi, guys, glad to be on the show. It's taking long enough to get you on here.
Aye, it has. I've had a lot of, even for your audience, I've had a lot of, why, you not been on? So it's time. John, it's
the time has come. And listen, the ratings are going to shoot up this week with a big, handsome guy like you on, Gaz.
Well, once I tell everybody I was on,
that's
true. You'll probably be a few extra anyway. I work with a lot of Falkirk fans, so.
Well, that's good to know. Make sure you tell them that you're on. Right, Gary, we're going to go through the rigmarole. We need to ask you, first of all, what was your first Falkirk game and what made you start supporting Falkirk?
Motherwell, 1987 October. I know that. I've got the programme now. So back in about 86, 87, I was six, and my grandpa used to go. Main stand season ticket. And I always spent Saturday with my grandpa, and I was very confused as to why grandpa disappeared to the football, and I was like, why can I not come? So I nagged and nagged, and he actually said to my mum, "Look, I'll just take him, and then he'll get bored. He'll know what to go back, and that's the end of it." You know,
many a year later.
35, 36 years later.
Oh, mate, absolutely.
You've never been bored yet, so.
No, exactly.
Oh, he did always say one thing to me, the SFA's got it in for Falkirk. He died in 1989. He said,
"What? Like Nostradamus?"
I still hear it for kids now. Oh, it's unbelievable! Still say it now, and I'm like, my grandpa said that in the '80s.
He obviously saw a decision in a Scottish Cup semi final in 2023, all the years ago.
Absolutely. Right, Gary. Out with the Holy Trinity, which is obviously Latipe, Crunchy and Stainrod, who's your favourite player? Now, I don't think we've had this conversation before, Gary. So I'm intrigued to find out what those three your favourite.
Because I knew that this would come, I had to answer it, and I kept racking my brains going, how do you pick just one? There's so many. I could keep going through different eras.
Aye.
So I decided only yesterday. I'm going to go with Anthony Stokes, and purely because a striker that good should never be anywhere near Falkirk.
Aye.
It was a bit like, suppose, Stainrow. They should never have been, or even Chris Waddle for that four-week period. He should never be at Falkirk. He was too good. And I know he was only there 4 months, but bloody hell.
I remember he made his debut against Rangers at Ibrox, and I remember...
Yep. I was at that game.
In fact, I was probably there with you guys, and then I just remember going, he's maybe got something about him, and then obviously he just lit up in the months that followed. You know, it was just
what's the thing? He was there 4 months, John, and the first month he didn't score a bloody goal.
Right.
So all his goals came in that 3 months, which makes it all the more impressive.
Yeah,
you know, and he had a game suspended because he got sent off at Motherwell as well. Right. Which people forget, he had a suspension.
That's right, I completely
stabilised that rack of goals.
And who can forget his black eye the night before we played Dunfermline, and he did his hat trick and his keepy up. He's remember he turned up with a black eye to the bus.
That's right. Well, the story turned up late for the bus as well. As
I think so,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a player. What an absolute player.
What a player.
Maybe Russell the night before.
Aye, maybe. I mean, it should never have been with us. And you actually think if Anthony Stokes had knuckled down a wee bit more and screwed the nut a wee bit, you know, he could have went on to even bigger and better things. He obviously had a very good career with Hibs and Celtic, but you just think with his talent, you know, he could have been so much more, I reckon. So much more. But
yes, he should have. But you're right, he's another one of those, like a Hibs waster, you know, the Ryans, the O'Connors, they just... Griffiths, to a degree, you know, no bad career, but he needed to screw the nut, and he didn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Stokes is in the exact same mould. What are you doing? All the talent in the world, what are you doing?
Yeah. Right, well, we talk about the game, or we talk about the best way around the Falkirk pub trail. The pub trail sounds good, but I guess the people don't want to hear that. They want to hear about Bonnie Rigg Rose 2, Falkirk 1. Liam Henderson with the goal, obviously went into the game. We talked about John McGuinn learning his lessons. We went full strength this week. All the regulars back in, so starting with Sam Long, Finn Yeats, right back, Leo McCann at left back, Cole and Big Tam in the centre half, Liam Henderson in midfield with Aidan Nesbitt. Who else was in midfield?
Totally. Spencer,
yeah. Spencer, obviously, and then Miller, Morrison, and McKeever up top. However, the 4-3-3, you know, the way we play football, we think, it'll be a skoosh, but then you turn up, you know, it was obviously a very last minute call to have the game on. We all were waiting on the tweet coming out. We all, because we were on the 10:45 train for Grahamston or Larbert, and then it comes out, and then we've got yes, and then we turn up and we see the pitch and go, Jesus Christ, it's a tatty field out there, absolute tatty field. I don't think there's been a better ad there for artificial surfaces. I know people go on and on about, oh, it's shocking these plastic pitches, but like, it wasn't conducive to football, that pitch yesterday.
No, not the way we play. I mean, if you like a bit of hoofball, brilliant. Jesus. I actually thought about this, and he'd done his research, John McGlynn, because he swapped ends. So he'd done his research, I'm assuming seen the pitch and the wind and all that, and made his decision. Why not on like Friday contact one of the junior teams in Falkirk and have his last training session on their pitch? Some hellhole, Camelin, whatever, some dump pitch. Have a training session on that pitch, because training on the Falkirk Stadium and then going to that and thinking that's a great idea. Well,
I agree.
Hindsight's fantastic.
I agree, guys. The only change I would make is probably not go to Camelin Juniors, because I'm sure their pitch is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it's really good, actually, yeah.
Go and play you know the fields over at Sunnyside.
Go and play Sunnyside. I've just watched a rugby game. The other day, and it was absolutely horrendous.
And I'm not even talking about the football pitches. I'm talking about the rugby. You may as well have just went there. I agree with you. I think the pitch was a huge leveler, right? Now, both teams, we may as well say this, both teams had to play in a bit.
The difference is, Ross, obviously, that Bonnyrigg are used to that pitch. They're used to conditions. The slope on that pitch is unbelievable. Not only was it up and down a hill, but it went from right to left, the slope. I took a picture of it. I was like, that is mental. But, I mean, Bonnyrigg are used to playing on that surface. And, you know, they had a big, strong, physical team that, you know, could do what we, you know, because our game and that lineup that you put out, it's not a hoofball team. It's a team that like to get the ball down, play the ball, look for passes, short passes, in, out. And obviously you couldn't do it in that surface. So was the lineup correct for that game? Now, we all criticised last week the lineup, but could he have went a bit if he's... Because he said in his pre-match they would have to change the style and have to change the system because of the pitch. Do you think he maybe should have went two up top then? If we were going to play that kind of football, you know, getting the ball up to McKeever and looking for someone like Allen in and around him. I thought it was a game that cried out for someone like the physical attributes Alfie Agyeman, if I'm honest with you as well. I think he should have started. But should we have put out a bit more of a physical team if that was the way we were going to play yesterday?
Yes.
Yes, simple answer.
Yes,
I honestly think he should have went with two. I've been thinking about this, and I was like, he should have went with two if we were going to do what we were doing, which was knocking the ball up. You know, there was very little playing out from the back yesterday, if any at all.
that was no day for that.
Now, if you had McKeever or an argument up there with McKeever, that would have been probably a better solution.
I would suggest I'm going to defend McGlynn a little. It did seem like he was saving his subs for extra time. I think he, after an hour, realised what I did. There's no going to be a winner here. This game's dying. Not end-to-end chances galore. This game's dying. And I think he was holding on to his subs till extra time. And that's why when we lost the goal, he pummeled three of them on and one quick goal, because he was saving them for extra time, in my mind. I think that was his plan. And then it was just like, it's too late.
Yeah,
he didn't expect
it. I think it's as well. I agree. I think going back to the first point about the right starting lineup, it was the strongest lineup we had. McKeever's obviously had a question mark over him in terms of his fitness. I think I probably we talked about this pre-match, didn't we? I probably would have had somebody strong like Agyeman at the playing, maybe even the McKeever role. But in terms of the subs, they were 20 to 25 minutes, in my opinion, too late. We created an awful lot of chances yesterday. I've not got the stats to hand, but when you watch it back, we did have a number of chances to score a goal. We didn't. Our finishing wasn't clinical yesterday. They were clinical, and when they had an opportunity, they were very unlucky with another couple of chances as well that we'll talk about. But if we'd been far more clinical yesterday, I think it would have been a far different game again, because this is the same conversation we had about Edinburgh last week. We weren't clinical enough.
I mean, if the game was at our place, we'd have won. Obviously, I think went on to win that yesterday. But like you say, you've got to play the conditions, and we didn't do that. We did not do that. The boy at number nine, McGackie, you know, he was trouble all afternoon.
McGackie, I think he said Bukkake. I was like,
I don't know what that Bukkake is all about, Ross. Go and tell me to explain what Bukkake is. Okay. But I mean, they played the conditions, and it was going to be set pieces all day long. The goals were going to come from, and that's generally what the three goals all came from. Free kick comes into the box. Sam Long, I mean, we'll talk about Sam Long in a minute. But free kick came into the box. Sam came to get it, didn't get anywhere near it. Was there a foul on him? Potentially, I don't know. It would have been harsh if it was, but he found himself scrambling away back to his goal, and it was just, you know, the ball fought with Bonnyrigg Rose, and it was just a poke across the line, and it was 1-0 to them.
Unlike last week, I don't think it was a foul. I know I was quite vocal last week saying he was fouled, and the...
You thought it was a penalty last week at all?
Listen...
I'm glad you're laughing at that, Gaz, because
it was a penalty last week.
I'm just remembering yesterday. This is all the same conversation we had on the train yesterday. We should have just filmed it yesterday on the train.
That's true. But I think he wasn't filled. He's made a massive error coming off his line there. He's also not the biggest. So I'm not really sure why he didn't think Donaldson, Lang, Henderson were able to clear. And he ran to the edge of the box. Bearing in mind, this cross wasn't he put into the 6-yarder. This was on the edge of the box. Yeah. What was he thinking?
I mean, I think we had a big discussion actually on the way through yesterday. Lewis, our compatriot, and who's also obviously the former voice of Falkirk Television, Lewis, thought that Sam Long has cost us about 8 goals this season. He was counting in. I don't think at Edinburgh last week, he was quite critical of his performance at Edinburgh last week. I don't know for the 2 goals, he was much at fault for them, but certainly yesterday, he was at fault. You know, Lewis suggested that Nicky should have started yesterday. Would you two have agreed with that, or do you think Sam just deserved another chance?
Yes.
Nicky, yesterday?
Yes.
I think Nicky's our keeper. I think he should be playing. Bearing in mind, he was dropped after 3 clean sheets, which was harsh. I know he had a wobble at Aki's, but that was, what, a month ago, 5 weeks ago, and he hadn't done...
still won that game as well.
He still won that game as well. He didn't do anything wrong after that. So I would play Nicky just because he's our keeper, but I would also play Nicky now anyway because I think Sam Long's confidence must be shot to shit.
Yeah, I think he's got one from next week.
I woke up to a text this morning from a guy who doesn't support Falkirk, and he just said, just seen your game, Jesus Christ, that keeper.
Jesus.
And that's a guy who doesn't even support Falkirk.
Saves. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, and it should have been 2-0. I mean, Aidan Nesbitt had a chance that kind of trickled along the goal line and out, but that big McGackie again causing all sorts of problem, and there was a big chance. Is the effort he managed to get the ball, bring it down, and just the keeper came out and it just went by the post. So it could have been 2-0, but it wasn't. We managed to get a goal back again. It was worked out from a corner, kind of set piece. Ball goes into the box from Finn Yeats, and it was a nice header from Big Hendo. I don't know how he managed to get into that box unmarked, by the way, because there was no one around him. It was just a wee flick it in a great wee.
I'm so glad that goal was at our end because it rolled down the hill. I get the feeling at the other end, that header, it was so slow that header would have stopped in the mud at the other end, you know, just died a death in the mud because it rolled down the hill, which helped it just...
Header from Hendo, and we've said in this podcast before, we want to see more of that from William Henderson because he's got it about him, you know, just getting in that box with his height and his physicality and getting more chances like that. So it was great to see Hendo doing that, and you know, a good finish from him, which get us 1-1. And at that point, I actually turned to Ross and I said, we're winning this match. I've got no problem with this. It's going to be an ugly, ugly game of football, but we'll win this. We'll win this. I had a bit of confidence about us just with the run around, but we come out the second half and it was just much the same. It was just looking for some sort of set piece. Morrison tested the keeper out a few times by Paddy Martin, who we all know well. In the first half he had a shot which Paddy flicked over, and then same again in the second half, but the chances were few and far between. I think Ross McKeever had a chance at one point just when Brad Spencer took a shot and he got in front, but it was pretty slow going, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You didn't want to watch that, did you?
Big call, maybe could have had one.
There was a few. It was hard to tell through the low trajectory what was going on at the other end in the second half and who was doing what, but God almighty, I tell you, imagine bringing a neutral along to that yesterday. I think that's what we watched every week.
Yeah.
Best wishes to the ball from that match, who I believe is still in A&E and in hospital after that match, because it got absolutely leather-chested to that ball. God almighty, absolutely battered. So I hope it gets well soon. But yeah, it was a bit of a tough watch. The conditions obviously played into that. But then, like you said, Gary, early on, we thought he's holding off on the subs for extra time, and we'll see it out. But then an our set piece, Finn Yates puts it out for a corner. Maybe that could have been saved. And then it was just that, again, a ball comes into the front post. Question of offside. I know a lot of people put their hand up for offside, but again, the goalkeeper gets two hands to it and turns it into his own net. Now, bear in mind, Sam had a really good save, you know, about 10 minutes prior to that, but like...
Aye, from McKeever.
Yes.
It was an OG.
Yeah. But, I mean... Again, he should have been getting that.
John, I think he could have done a lot better. He got two hands on as we were very close to it, right?
Yeah, it was right.
Taking it back a step though, because he could have done a hell of a lot better. What the defence and the team were doing in the box at the time before that happened though, I've no idea, because the guy, obviously the corner came in, he got a free header at the edge of the box to head it back into the goal, and then unmarked, the lad just runs across the half the defence and flicks it in. Like, what were we doing? Like, this is the last minute of the game. Concentration should have been, like, paramount.
Yeah.
And were the players actually thinking what we were at that point, which was, well, Christ, this is an awful game. Let's just get him. Because this, like, they seemed to just switch off that last minute or two.
Yeah.
And it was criminal. Absolutely criminal.
Aye. Yes. It was, and you know, that was it. And then he brings on four subs.
Too late.
For the last few minutes. What differences was that going to make? And like you say.
Yeah, how many actually touched the ball? I mean, we should have actually watched that. How many touched the ball?
Yeah.
It was that late.
Yeah.
No. And the subs coming on point to the full time whistle didn't seem that long, so I would certainly argue that hardly any of them even touched the ball.
I think the people that should have been off that, Calvin Miller was very much, it wasn't a game for him. I mean, Morrison got himself there and thereabouts, obviously with pot shots. Brad Spencer was wasted in that game, as was, you know, Aidan Nesbitt always gives you that drive, but that's the changes I would have been making a lot earlier. And as I said, I probably would have went with a two up top as well if that was going to be the type of game we were going to play yesterday, because it was...
John, here's a shout. See the formation change the week before?
Yeah.
Do you think he did that in preparation for Bonnyrigg?
And then just shat it?
Well, it's obviously no worked against Edinburgh, so that's maybe through him.
Yeah.
Maybe did that change with Bonnyrigg.
You know, it's not a bad shout, Ross. You're probably right, because, you know, we packed out, obviously, we put the two up top and we played that kind of 3-1-4, whatever it was, we played. But it's not a bad shout that he probably did. And then, oh, it didn't work about Edinburgh, didn't work against Edinburgh. But then the personnel was all different, you know. There was six changes in that side, so... I mean, it was a hard one to take yesterday. I think it was just pure disappointment. You know, you're on 26 games unbeaten, and then that run has ended against Bonnyrigg Rose. It's not what we expected. And, the you know, we kind of trudged out, went to the pub, you know. I was just like, oh, a few supporters, fair enough, the appointed team and all that sort of stuff. But I
saw that as well. And in hindsight, I actually wish, and I know everybody wouldn't have done this, right, but I think personally, more should have, including myself, we should have clapped the team off, because after 26 games, it's a hell of a run, right? We were disappointed yesterday.
It was a pure disappointment. I think I turned to you and said, "I'm not getting my pause this week."
Yeah.
That's terrible. Terrible. But no,
some of the shouts though, John, like some of the shouts that they, like, there was a couple of guys who were going absolute OT.
There was a couple
and of people kind of stuff, you like, right, Camden, with that chat. But I think it's a big loss financially.
That's the thing. I mean, it's the cup run pretty much saved the club last year. You know, we hope we're, you know, I've seen a lot of people saying it's all about the league, and we know it's all about the league, but financially, the cup run and drawn, we'll see what the draw's like tonight, but drawn a Celtic, a Rangers, a Hearts, an Aberdeen, a Hibs, in terms of, you know, I was quite happy because I think the cup run was a big distraction last year, and I think that played into our league form, and there was too many eyes on that semi-final. I'd have been quite happy to get through this round, get the money, and be put out the cup because, you know, box ticked, then we can focus on the league. You know what I mean? That I'd have been quite happy with that. So to go out in that way to Bonnie Rigrose, and fair play to Bonnie Rigrose, they were worth their win. They played the conditions better than us. They played the pitch better than us. And, you know, that was a part-time side. They just knew how to play that way. We didn't know how to play that way. We're used to a certain style. We're used to playing a way.
We didn't adapt. You're right.
We didn't adapt at all. Didn't adapt at all. So fair play to Bonnie Rigrose. And, you know, they were worthy winners. And then they go into the hat tonight. So we'll find out who they get. Right, okay, and let's see what Mr. McGlynn had to say after that match.
John, it's a really tough game out there. Just like we said in our interview pre-match, we're going to have to try and adapt to the underfoot conditions, which proved difficult today, but a tough one to take overall.
Well, obviously, yeah. No matter what, you're here to win the game, and, you know, we've come out and we're out of the cup, you know. So obviously, gutted, disappointed. We had high hopes, you know. It's a winnable game, albeit that the pitch was always going to be a leveller, and you know it's just no conducive to playing football. Now, they don't want to stand and make excuses, but unfortunately, it's a big part of it. For the minute the draw was made, you know, my concern was the pitch. I knew it would be a massive leveller. It was so difficult to play football. We couldn't play the way we would normally play. And so it becomes just hump the ball at the park, try to deal with things, you know, which can lead to like corner kicks, like we've scored from a free kick and a corner kick, which is similar to last week from our point of view, which is no great. We'll need to, you know, sort that out. Congratulations to Bonnerig, fair play them, you know, they've managed to get over the line. We had some good chances in the second half, you know. They scored very early in the game. Sam's made a save after that, and I had another opportunity to go by, and then I thought after that, the initial bit, I thought, kind of like took a bit of control to some extent, because it's very hard to get control because you're not really passing the ball for any consecutive passes, because it's really difficult to do that. And I thought the second half it was mainly us, but never completely comfortable, because just a launch up the park can be headed out and it's a throw in, and from a long throw it can be a corner kick, and so these things. But I thought we created one or two openings, maybe we just didn't get a strike away on target, and then you know, we lose a goal from the corner kick very, very late in the game, a bit too late to be able to do anything. And unfortunately, we're out of the cup, so I apologise to everyone, all the Falkirk fans that came along today. Obviously, we had you know, thoughts of being through and being in the next round, and you know, fair play, as Hattie Bonnerig, they've managed to get the win and get through.
What did you make of that, boys?
Well, he does say he doesn't want to make excuses and blame the pitch, but he also blames the pitch. nay, surprise, I don't think anybody, we're out. Bonnerig's fair play, they've not cheated. We did it with Brockville, didn't we? We used Brockville to level any team down to our level.
Yep.
So they've done it to us. Simple as that. They're through, we're out.
It's a good shout, Jack. It's a good shout, guys, about the whole Brockville situation. Granted, I don't think I ever saw Brockville's pitch as bad as that. But
no,
you're right though. We made it uncomfortable, and they made it uncomfortable for our boys yesterday. And I don't mean the crowd, because apart from the annoying wee wankers behind the goal with the megaphone or siren. Was that a police siren or something? That was bloody annoying, wasn't it?
I was. The ultras were very quiet, and I know I don't know if a few of them had left early, but they were very quiet yesterday.
I don't take anything away, John, but obviously there wouldn't have been a huge number of them with it being a restricted crowd. But I think I sometimes think some of these grounds where you're not really together, because, like, see down at the front, everybody was just sort of standing side by side. I don't know. I didn't think it was a great place for for any sort of football atmosphere, to be honest. But obviously, they're young lads behind the goals. They certainly made a noise, an annoying noise. But yeah, our lot were probably a bit quieter. But then you're spurred on by what happens on the pitch. And at no point yesterday did we ever really kind of feel like we're in the game to win it, unfortunately. But I agree with Gaz. I think he's obviously talked about the pitch there. It was a leveller, but they handled it better than we did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see what everyone's saying about the match. Sam kicks us off saying everything about yesterday suited them. Only positive to come out of that is there's only potentially two extra games left if we beat TNS. So league is the only focus now. Surely a good team will bounce back. Let's get back on track at Alloa on Saturday with a big performance.
You're here. Grant says both teams had to play on that pitch, so it's not an excuse. Praying that last week wasn't the catalyst for us shitting the bed this season.
I think there is a bit of worry with that, is that, and it's certainly looking at Hamilton supporters looking in, they're kind of hoping, oh, well, they've drawn against Edinburgh, you know, they've, you know, they've got beat off Bonnie again. But I think there's big factors that you maybe look from the outside and see the results, but when you look as focus pours into those results, the changes we made, the formation change we made last week, you know, and then looking at that pitch yesterday, you know, we've all seen that, but teams from the outside looking in are thinking, oh, you know, oh, that Falkirk have gone to shit, you know, and obviously McGuinn has got this, you know, reputation of bottling it, you know. I think we need to make a statement next week. We go to Alloa and play our game. You know, it's going to be on a decent surface. We play our formation, we play our best players, and we walk away, you know, 2-3-1, hopefully. But we'll talk about the Alloa game in a bit. Grant says, Lewis says, after last week's performance, I don't understand why Long is playing. If Lincoln are turning the screws on McGuinn, I'd hope he has a backbone to tell him to bolt and get another keeper in rather than compromise the team. Long is just not good enough.
I know we talked about it before. I don't think there'll be any stipulation from Lincoln to say he's got to play. I think it's currently McGuinn's choice, obviously. Do I think he'll be out for Alloa? I do. I think Will Garth will be quite rightly back in.
I think after that, you've got to look at... I mean, it hopefully isn't going to be our undoing, but it is the one area of the pitch that gives me concerns, the goalkeeping situation. There was talk about Jamie McDonald coming back at the start of the season. That would have been... having an experienced keeper alongside Nicky would have been my dream scenario. You see just... I mean, God, we were talking about it away again on the train. Michael McGovern moving to Livingston alone. Imagine if we'd got Mick Gloves back... to Falkirk, it would have been,
and surely that would cost a lot because Livingston don't have a single penny to spend, according to Mr. David Martindale. He's forever in the media saying he's skint, isn't he?
So, I found $100,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would have been great to have someone like Michael McGovern come back. And I just think with the spine of the team that we've got, you know, when you look at it, you've got obviously. Tam coming in, Brad Spencer, McKeever, that spine the team is just missing that experienced goalkeeper, I think. So I wouldn't if Long went back to Lincoln, you know, we cut the loan and we brought in an experienced goalkeeper, I wouldn't shed any tears over that, I have to say. Craig
says similar theme, John. So Long's got to be dropped. He's too small and lost two goals from set pieces. Nicky is our keeper and should be playing. Terrible doesn't even begin to cover that pitch. It made the game a total lottery, which was always going to be decided on set pieces.
Yeah. Drew says poor today, but focus on the league now. No point being negative. And Pete says pitch was a real leveler today. Impossible to put any football. Fair play to Bonnyrigg. No complaints.
Brian says the pitch is irrelevant. The cup is a free hit at some good income and we threw it away with a very naive performance. Bonnyrigg deserved it. They won every battle.
Yeah, they did battle away, especially in that midfield. I thought our boys got pushed about a wee bit. Obviously, we couldn't settle into our normal game. Robert says it will be quickly forgotten provided we get back to winning ways next week. All about the league. Fair play to Bonnyrigg. No complaints. Hope they get a good draw tomorrow.
Chris said players should be able to adjust to harsh conditions, but the pitch was really bad and prevented either team playing any kind of football. The Rose played to their strengths, whereas we couldn't play to ours. However, the league is a priority and maybe a Challenge Cup win to lift the spirits. Come on, the Bairns.
Yeah. And finally, nearly 40 hours of unbeaten football kissed away in a mud pit against a team of farmers, butchers and a fat PE teacher playing number nine. Pitch nullified their creative players completely, and they wanted to win the arm wrestle more than us. If winning is a habit, let's hope losing isn't. Very good point. Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay. Falkirk Daft rated. Who are we going for?
Oh, Christ.
Can I just say there's a lot of players running about with white tops on at the end of that match. That, for me, indicates they weren't getting stuck. I'm looking at Calvin Miller. I'm looking at Leon McCann. I'm looking at players that were still kicking about at the end of that 90 minutes with white tops. They should not be considered for Falkirk Daft rated because they clearly weren't putting themselves about enough in that game. Everyone should have been walking off that pitch with black tops.
There was two for me, John. The goal scorer, Hendo, not just for his goal, but I thought he was, he got stuck in. And then I know he gets a lot of praise most of the time anyway, but the man who's sitting behind you in the picture, Mr. Lang, he covered, I was going to say every blade of grass, but he stepped on every bit of mud on the pitch. And you could tell he was trying to make up for Edinburgh last week as well. And he seemed to sort of lose his shit at the defence and Sam at the first goal especially, and just tried to kind of keep them together. So it could be either one of the two. I'll go for Hendo just because he scored, but I think it could have been either of those two. What about you guys?
I was going to say big Hendo. I mean, you're always looking at the big guys in these situations because exactly the players like Morrison and Miller, you know, they're nullified by terrible pitches and big luggers that, I tell you, they just weren't interested enough. The one thing they obviously feared, which is fair play to them, was a football game breaking out. So pick on the guys that play a bit of football, get them kicked, bring them down if they look like they're going to run it. Yeah, you know, all the rest of it. Yep, so that's on McGlynn for playing silky footballers on a pitch like that and genuinely fighting. They'll still be the same. Yeah. Isn't he? Why they'd be the same? I mean, Messi would have struggled to play football in that yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, Christ almighty. I could tell you that. And I'm the coach with badges that McGlynn's got. Jesus. Right, yeah, you're looking at your big guys.
Yeah. So you Hendo for Gaz. Hendo.
I'll go for Hendo.
Yeah.
I've seen him more than most.
I'm going to go Hendo as well. I thought, like, he got his goal. I thought he was physically ill about that midfield, putting himself about, trying to get the team moving up the park. And a game like that was kind of made for players like Hendo. So Hendo for me for Falkirk Daft rated. So that's one for big Hendo this week. Right, Falkirk Dafty. I think we all know where this is going, Ross.
Just Gaz just kind of nailed it there. I think the subs were far too late, John. The game was sort of fading away and after an hour. And we could have changed it. I don't think McKeever was fit. Agumon could have came on. A lot of debate about Agumon anyway, but he's a player that would have just got the head down and ran with it, which we needed. So unfortunately, for the second week in a bounce, I think I'm going to go John McGlynn.
Guys,
Well, I've got a few. I mean, just to move on, you're right about McGlynn, obviously. Got to look at the goalkeeper again. And it sounds bitter as hell, but I'm just going to say it. The referee, you're allowed to book in. You're allowed to book Bonnyrigg players. Jesus Christ, how many fouls? Everybody around me was shouting. They just wanted a booting. I mean, they just wanted a booting to just even it. The amount of tackles that I seen, I was like, I can't believe that's not a booting.
Yeah. So out of the three, who's getting the gas?
Oh God, yeah. McGlynn's got the tactics wrong, so I suppose it starts with that. Be easy to blame the goalie, but right for the start, the tactics were wrong, the team was wrong. Yeah, go with McGlynn.
McGlynn it is then. I'm going to give it to Sam. I'm going to have to give it to young Sam. Just didn't play the conditions well as a goalkeeper. Just rush of blood to the head. And it's like I say, it's not the first time. There's been a lot of incidents. We go back to Dundee United, even go back to Partick Thistle in the League Cup. It's going to have to be Sam for me. He seems to have a rush of blood to the head and he's not got the physicality to back it up. So I'm sorry, Sam, but you are my Falkirk Dafty.
Yeah.
There you go. Gary McLaughlin, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem, gentlemen. Hopefully not the last thing.
Yeah. Over, we're up to, I think we're coming up to episode
68, I think this one.
68, and this is, we've managed to get you.
Jesus.
On. So there you go, Gary. So thanks for coming on. Eventually, we'll get you back on again. But listen, if you want to be a guest,
no partner, problem, Jen.
Just like Gaz, you can do that. Please drop us a DM right now, Twitter, Facebook, or an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
All right, okay then, back to league business. Now, the unbeaten run's maybe broken now, but we're still unbeaten in the league. We've not lost a game in the league, and we've got to continue that this Saturday against Alloa over at the Rex. We're hoping to speak to Kieran from the Wasps Nest podcast. We've not spoken to him this season, the boys over there. They're good lads, and have, you know, they're totally insightful into Alloa. But we're recording on a Sunday night, and as you can hear, it's an absolute hooly outside, so he's stuck having travel issues, and I think all of the trains have been cancelled tonight and into tomorrow. So we can't speak to Kieran, but we'll do our best to look ahead to the game against Alloa. Now, Alloa are coming into this game in decent form. That, you know, they were having a bit of a sticky patch, but that's them, as far as I can see, unbeaten. Well, taking aside the cup game, yes, against Motherwell, in the league, they're unbeaten, I think, in six now. Draws, wins, they're kind of up and down with the draws and wins, but they, you know, that'll do their confidence. They're still sniffing about that kind of play, those playoff places. You know, it looks like, you know, Montrose, Alloa, Kelty are going to be, and Queen of the South actually as well, they're all kind of in a big pack there. And it looks like, you know, Stirling still have an outside chance if they can pick up form as well, getting into the playoffs. From 58th, you would say, yeah, you know, any one of them could nab that fourth place, because I think it's going to be, you know, the top three is Falkirk. Well, top two is going to be Falkirk or Hamilton. Cove are going to be third, I reckon. But, you know, I think, you know, they've still got big hopes of getting into that playoff, and they want to get a result and get it over us.
Yeah, they will. It's going to be a tough game. It would have been a tough game even if we had won this weekend. But we go there in big confidence as well. Obviously, our form is the best in the league. We just need to remember what we're good at and how we do it. So if, I know I sound like a broken record, but the only team that's going to cock us up this year, I believe, is ourselves, John. And that certainly happened the last 2 weeks. But we can go to Alloa. There'll be another big crowd there because it's a bit of a local derby as well for that purpose. And everybody will be up for it. We just need to get the 3 points. And as you've said many times, get up the road.
Absolutely. I don't care how the 3 points come, 1-0, laugh, whatever it comes up. We need to, like you say, get back to winning ways. And, you know, Hamilton supporters are getting very, very excited over the last couple of weeks, so we just need to put a lid on that and see how we go. But yeah, the Rex is always a relatively tough, you know, we've been kind of up and down with that. Donald, our statistician, has been back in touch after his came one. He's saying that Long must be replaced for Hogarth for Alloa after he dropped after the clean sheets. But he's given their away stats. The last six games over the past 2.5 years at the Rex, we played six, we've won four, drawn one, and lost one. 72% record, which is pretty decent. Overall, our away record at Alloa is pretty good. We played 78, won 41, drawn 18, and lost 18. So that's a 65% win record at the Rex. So it's decent. And with the way the team are playing at the moment, we're going, the surface will be good because it's an artificial surface over at Recreation Park. I don't know what the conditions will be like. I think there's meant to be more bad weather next weekend as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the wind is going to play particular havoc with the football next weekend, buddy. I really do.
Yeah, and Connor Salmon's due his annual goal against us as well. I saw he scored at the weekend against Motherwell there as well.
I'm sure he would have got a good reception off the Motherwell fans because they didn't take to him at all, did they? Motherwell fans, I don't think so, anyway.
No, so it's going to be tough. It always is tough against Alan. Like I say, they're playing for the playoffs, and like I say, they want to get, it's been a wee while since they beat us, so they'll be looking to get one over us. And certainly Andy Graham, now we didn't decide over there, young manager, looking to, you know, put a, you know, because one thing that Al have always had is managers have obviously went on to do well for themselves. Jim Goodwin, Jack Ross. Was it Ian Murray even there, I think?
I'm not sure about Ian Murray. Obviously, I remember Paul Hartley being there, and he obviously did well at Alloa, didn't he? So, yeah, you're right. It is never an easy place to go. We have got good success there, though, so that should be a bit of a confidence boost. We do need to get back to it. The pitch is going to be absolutely fine for our usual style of football, and we just need to get the ball down, get it moving. I wouldn't make too many changes, to be honest with you, mate. I think, I'll caveat that. I think I would definitely make a change in the goalkeeping situation. I wouldn't change the defence. I'd ask the defence to be bloody organised, though, because that's now 4 goals in 2 weeks from set pieces, and we need to be tighter, because if we're losing 2 goals a game, we will not go on and win this league.
And Al are a big team, like we know, and that's the way they play. So they'll be looking at getting those goals from set pieces. Set pieces was a downfall last season as well. I remember talking about it several times in the podcast. They need to get that sorted. And, you know, we thought that plug maybe that had maybe been plugged with Big Tam going in there, but obviously still a bit of an Achilles heel. So they need to get that sorted and organised for next week. So get the forwards scoring a good few goals, and then we don't have to worry about losing goals from set pieces anyway. So, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. What are your predictions for the score, Ross?
I think it will be far tighter than maybe our form suggests, because we have been pretty free scoring. But I think that the team will be just desperate to get any win. So I'm going to go 1-0, Burns.
Yeah, I'm going to take a cheeky 2-0, I think, 2-0. And I think, like you say, Hogarth back in for Long. That's the change that has to be made. So fingers crossed for Saturday at the Rex.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, rate, review us. We need Denon Lewis back in touch as well. He's not been in touch in a wee while, so... please rate and review us. We'd love to read out some of your reviews. Give us 5 stars and remember to like and subscribe, guys. Like and subscribe the video and hit that little button so you get notifications when we drop a video, which is every Monday. You can get merch, please do. Support the podcast, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And listen, we do have Haldane Construction as our sponsor, but if you would like to be mentioned, if you've got a local company, we do very good rates. We can read out your company, read all your messaging, and that helps us support the podcast as well. So if you want to do that, drop us an email, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk or ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk, and we can mention your company, whether it's a chip shop, whether it's a cafe, whether it's a shop in the high street, whether it's a pub, whatever you want, we'll mention it because we will do anything. Right, listen, thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed your day at Bonnyrigg, aside from the result yesterday. And fingers crossed for a big result in Alloa this weekend. And until next time,
expect unexpected, buddy.
Thanks for listening.